This has been an absolutely insane, crazy year. Again, when I say the word year, I'm talking like September to now. And I'm just speaking just for youth ministry. I mean, just imagine what life has been like throughout the entire life of the church. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about a little bit today, because it really has been a year. In fact, we've seen so many of you step up in ways that we've not seen before. And we've seen even more of you continuing the work that God has already started in your life, and you're taking that to newer and greater heights, because that's what our God does. Our God is a builder, amen? He is a builder. So we start here and we go, God, we're going to give you absolutely everything right here because this is all I can give. And he's like, that's fine, I'll take you here, and then I'll take you here, and then I'll take you here. And he just continues to grow things at our benefit for his kingdom. And that's what our God does. And that's what was so cool to look out over this last year, because he would kill me for saying this. And I'm going to say it for all four services, that he would kill me for saying it, but especially since he's here for this service. Don White is a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal man. If you do not know who Don White is, he came in at the 11th hour and pretty much saved all of our bacon as a staff, and like allowed all of us essentially to not rip all of our hair out and just go, we are so done. Without him, CPC would not be off the ground and running and actually doing quite well. If you've not heard, CPC is doing quite well. That church is coming along, that campus is coming along swimmingly. And that is so much to do with Don's just leadership and what he brought to the table. He was kind of acting as interim a bit for waiting for Lindsay to get here. And now that Lindsay's here, we're seeing him already. Like, I'm just going, okay, I thought I was going to have to catch up with Steve. Good grief, I'm going to have to catch up with Lindsay too now. Like, these guys are intense, and I love it. But man, MSQ, like our mission in Mexico, it is launching, you guys. We have planted a dream center in Vicente Guerrero, and it is already changing the community that it is based in. Sorry, words are not coming to me. Already based in, the community knows that if they have an issue, if they have something that they need, that's where they go. That's the idea of a dream center. That's why we're wanting to build a dream center here in Victoria, because we want the people who are living in the darkness to know that there is light, and that is a place that they can go and experience God's love and his hope that he brings. Guys, we are changing communities, and we're only a year into that transition at MSQ. We're us actually owning the base and really launching that dream center. It's only been a year, and we're already seeing God move in incredible ways. Tom and the board is doing a fantastic job. Now, if you've been with us before, or when, especially when I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, you guys know my style. I don't dress like this, and I'm usually already at this point in the sermon yelling a way, way, way more than I am right now. And I know I'm usually like the hoorah guy, like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, right? And I'm jumping and I'm screaming or whatever. But as important as I think that is, obviously, I also think there's times where I have to dress like this and just simply just say thank you. Church, thank you. You guys have no idea how phenomenal you are. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. See, I knew it. As soon as I said it, I was like, every time I read that line, I started getting a little teary-eyed, because I mean that so much. Church, I mean that so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have worked for many, many churches, and I'm 25 years old. So yeah, like, I've worked for many churches. In fact, I counted the other day, I think it was 7 churches. This will be my 6th or 7th church that I've worked for. Because, you know, as an intern, right, when you're 15 years old and you start down a ministry track, you're not going to be going, I'm going to be working 40 hours a week at 15 years old. So you end up jumping around from place to place and church plant to church plant, just kind of wherever the wind takes you, learning everything you possibly can. And I've seen great leadership. I've seen not so great leadership. And then I came here and I saw phenomenal leadership. And I saw a church that is absolutely blowing it out of the water when we talk about living 6-8, when we talk about building God's kingdom, when we talk about a lot of the things that we want to do. Church, you are doing it. And I want to seriously, from the bottom of my heart, say thank you. And the staff says thank you. Because as much as we would like to think we could do this on our own as staff members, we can't. God's kingdom is not meant to be built by a select handful few. It takes each and every one of us, and you guys are stepping up in ways that we couldn't even comprehend on our own. You guys are starting new ministries, going downtown and working with the homeless. You guys are going out to all the different organizations and ministries that are already existing and helping out. You're helping out and volunteering countless hours within the church. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are an incredible testament to what the church is supposed to be. You are. You are an incredible testament to what the church is supposed to be. And we've definitely had some rough days, like we can all agree with that. But we've had oh so many more great days. And I know that God is going to continue to bring great days in and through this church because he is moving in and through this church. As you know, we're going through this series called Greater, and we are going through the book of Colossians. And as I was reading through the passage that was given to me to kind of go over and pour over, this was really the main message that God was like, just say thank you. For crying out loud, just say thank you. Because I think sometimes we get running and we get going and we can get so focused on the road ahead that we don't ever stop and maybe look back and turn around and look at what's already been accomplished and just go, wow, wow, look at that. That's amazing. So I just wanted to take a quick just moment and look back and just go, wow. And I can just say wow for the 2 years that I've been here. The 2 years that I've been here, church, that I when I came aboard, I saw a group of students, and I'll just speak for my own paradigm, if you will, between youth group and normally church. I saw a group of students that were lost, that were broken. They're still broken, but they were more so broken. I saw a group of students that we had a ton of middle school students, and we had, I think, two or three seniors that graduated that my first year. And seeing that we were just kind of going, how do we bridge this gap? How do we go about reaching out to the lost? How do we go reaching into schools? How do we get used to going into our workplaces and making our walk with Jesus an everyday thing? And then Live 6-8 really started to take off, because when I came, it was still M6-8. And then Live 6-8 kicked off. We started rolling with this idea of, yeah, we're supposed to live every single day. We're supposed to live every day acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly. That's an everyday thing. We live that out, and it became this mantra, this hunger that every single day we are to live for Jesus first. And then we rolled out something called Adopt-A-Block. If you don't know about Adopt-A-Block, Steve did an amazing job a couple weeks ago explaining what Adopt-A-Block really is at the end of the day. At the end of the day, Adopt-A-Block is building relationships. And we build those relationships so we actually can have a foot in the door to tell people about the kingdom. As we look back and we look at how many amazing things God has done, this it's Colossians 1, starting in verse 3. This is so incredibly true for us as a staff. Let me just read this for you, just verses 3 through 8. Let me read this. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. That is true for us here at SBC. Whenever we pray for us as a church, we first and foremost, we say thank you as a staff to you. Because you guys are killing it. So thank you. And since we've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it is also does among you, since the day you've heard it and understood it, the grace of God in truth, just as you learn our beloved, beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on behalf and has made known to us the love of the Spirit. I left out his name on purpose because I want you to put your name there. To them, that was their dude. Apparas. That was their dude. I want you to put your name there. Because we don't ever cease thanking God for you specifically, for everything that you do for this church. Okay, because we cannot look at some of the things that's going on. Right? We can speak to all of the great leadership stuff that happens as a staff, and that is great. And Steve, can we just, like, Steve's not here. He can't hear you. Can we just clap for Steve? Can we give, like, seriously? Like, we won't do it when he's here, okay? Like, but when he's gone, we want to just, like, that man is just, like, come on now. We are so incredibly blessed to have him as our senior pastor. Like, unbelievable. We can talk about all the amazing that Steve does and thinks. Like, that man thinks on a whole different level. Like, I'm still trying, you guys. I'm going like, how does that even work in your... Never mind. Just let him run. Just let him run. But we say thank you specifically to you, because this building and this staff is not the church. We are the church. And we as a staff are so incredibly grateful for what you do for God's kingdom. And that's really what I want you to know. I want you to know that I'm not thankful because you serve in our ministries or because we can say, hey, we have this many people coming on a Sunday morning. That's great. That's not why I'm saying thank you, that you help keep the lights on, right? That's not why I'm saying thank you. I'm saying thank you because, church, the work that you're doing is building God's kingdom. That is why we want to say thank you. Because the work that you're doing matters. The work that you're doing is going beyond even just you. You are setting things in motion that are going to impact generations after you. That's why we say thank you. Because we don't want to push things aside like Compassion Sunday a couple weeks ago. We don't want to push that aside, because you have to understand that is a huge deal. And if you didn't know about this, Compassion Canada and IJM, International Justice Mission, out of all the churches that they partner with, okay, out of all the churches around the globe that they partner with, they said to us here in little old Victoria, BC, little old Saanich Baptist Church, they said, hey, listen, we want to come as two organizations, put on our first conference ever like that in a church, but we want to do it here at SBC because your church gets it. It's because your church gets it. You understand that? Like, it didn't even hit me till after the conference, because I was so just like in detail mode. But afterwards, it was like, oh my goodness, these two worldwide organizations are saying to you, church, you're getting this. And they recognize that. They see that. And they go, we want to partner with you, church, not just us staff, you, church, because you get it. And then we come back the next week that evening, and they're like, hey, you know, and we know that we were here 18 months ago, and you guys already sponsored like 76 kids for Compassion. That was awesome. We're going to have that as an opportunity in the back, and we'd love for you guys to continue to do it. And then, church, guess what? We sponsored 72 more children 18 months after the fact, and they were blown away. Blown away. Like, come on. Do you guys ever stop? Like, I was just like, I'm thinking, okay, when Steve in the back, I didn't give you guys enough credit. That's my fault. It's my fault. Because Steve goes, hey, Kenan, yeah, how many kids we've sponsored so far? This is only after three services, mind you. We had our evening service yet. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, weren't they just here, like, not even, like, a year ago? He's like, yeah, about, like, 18 months ago. How many kids you think so far? I was like, I don't know, 30? He's like, it's the only time I've ever heard Steve laugh like that. He's kind of chuckled and goes, no. He's like, dude, we're like at 60 kids already. What? Are you kidding me? Like, and then the evening service comes in. He's like, no, that's cool. We'll do 12 more. That's no big deal. We'll do 12 more. And the coolest part, you guys, is that so many of you took more children home. You're already sponsoring Compassion Kids, and you took more home. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys have no idea what that does to staff members like us and what that does to the surrounding community around this church. You don't even know. Other churches, I talk to a lot of other pastors, other churches come to me and say, what are you guys doing? Like, what people do you have coming to your church that they're allowing you to bring in these two worldwide organizations, and how dare you ask your church to sponsor Compassion Kids? That's just like asking for more money. Aren't you worried that they're not going to tithe because they're going to give that money to the kids? No. No. Because our church knows that if we want our money going to something, we're going to bring it toward acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly. That's where our money goes. Our money doesn't just go to keeping on the lights. Absolutely, it's a great thing. But you know what? We can do church outside. We can do church in the dark. Doesn't matter to us because we have the focus and the driven purpose of living 6-8, and you guys get it. So thank you. You guys get it. Absolutely crazy. Crazy church. Y'all are crazy. Seriously, y'all are crazy. And it's never been more of a pleasure to work with a group of people such as yourselves. Because y'all are crazy. And we love you for it. Now, I don't want to just, pat your head all morning. Pat your back all morning. But I do want to leave us with a little bit of encouragement, because Paul's letter in Colossians, when he's talking about this thanksgiving and prayer, right? We just did the first half. We just did the massive thanksgiving. And again, thank you, church. I can't say it enough. But then Paul goes into a little bit, and this is a very typical thing in Paul's letters. When Paul is writing to a church, usually he'll have an introduction like what Steve did last week. He'll do an introduction just saying, hey, I'm Paul, what's up? This is my credentials, and this is why I'm writing to you. Right? And Steve talked about that last week. And then usually what he'll do is he'll say, listen, I'm just writing to you to say thank you and just let you know that I'm praying for you. Because you need to know that as a church, that we as a staff, we pray for you guys all the time. Not just when you're sick, when things are going great. Right? And we pray and we say thank you to you. But I also want to have you take away five encouragements this morning that Paul brings to the church in Colossians, I think is so very true for us. Because what Paul is saying to the church in Colossians is he's saying that Jesus, our King, is greater than anything else that we can ever think or imagine on this earth. Paul's entire thesis of the letter is to say that Jesus is greater. Jesus is so much more than what we could ever hope to obtain. Jesus is so much greater. And as he does that, he wants to help the church in Colossae. He wants to help the Colossians just say, okay, you are going to continue to run this race, but I want to encourage you because it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be times where you slide backwards. There's going to be times where you get frustrated and we bicker and we fight about different things and different political stuff that can happen within the church. Because, church, we are a group of people who are broken. We are a group of people who are dealing with all of our own stuff outside the walls of this church. And then we come in and we bring it all in here. And yet we all raise one voice to our one King. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so the most amazing thing that I love is I love working in a church because it is a broken like mess, and yet God continues to go, that's what I want to use. That's what I want to use to reach the world around us. I don't want to just use organizations like Compassion and IGM, which are doing amazing work, but he wants to partner with the local church to see communities and lives transformed. But that means that it's going to be hard work. That means that there's going to be times where we get frustrated and we get down and we may get depressed and we're not seeing God move and it's like, ah. That's why I'm saying thank you this morning, because if you're there, you need to know that the work that you're doing matters and the work that you're doing is indeed being noticed. And even in the moment, and this isn't meant to sound cheesy, but in the moment, if you're feeling like we are not doing a good job of celebrating you, oh, you have a multitude in heaven that is celebrating the work that you're doing for God's kingdom. Like, we won't fully appreciate that until we get there. We won't. But you need to know that. Thanks is being sung constantly for building God's kingdom. Now, I want to give you five things this morning, and I want to read the second half of this passage, starting in verse 9 through 14, if you're following along with me. because I want to read through this all the way, and then I want to just kind of go back and just mention some of the things that Paul is telling to the church in Colossae, and just simply to say, SBC, this goes for us too. This goes for us too. Let's read, starting in verse 9, it says this, "And so, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that as to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, something that Paul, you need to notice about Paul, something that Paul mentions quite a few times in his letters is this idea, this context, if you will, of running the race well. Or in our context, it's walking in the manner worthy of our Lord. We see this kind of the same type of verbiage and phrase in Ephesians 4, this idea of walking in a manner worthy of our Lord. Because we talked about a couple weeks ago, right? Like this Micah 6:8 living, these aren't rules for us to follow. This is not just some rule book that's just like, yeah, just go ahead and just do these duties, whatever, and you're good. No. This is a lifestyle, but it's a standard of living that God has for us. And this is his desire that we shine through the world by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly. In other words, loving God, loving others. Right, and that's what drives us, is this idea that we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. But as we all know, living a Christian life, there's going to be the ups and there's going to be the downs. And that's why God is partnering with us. He's given us his helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us when things don't go our way. When things become just an absolute mess, God is there to help us. So first thing I want us to realize is, number one, is we have to actually run the race. That's the first takeaway, right? We actually have to run the race. This idea of living a stagnant Christian life is just not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. Even if that walk looks like taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, we're at least walking. We're at least moving. It's better to walk forward. I fully believe this because if it wasn't true, God would not have given us grace. That if he wants us to be moving, and if sin gets a hold of us again and tries to drag us backwards, we're like, no, keep walking forward. But we're sometimes so afraid to fail and so afraid to like upset God by our sin and whatever else that we stand still. We stand still in our walk and we go, I'm not going to move forward at all. I'm comfortable right here. I'm pretty good at following the rules. I'm pretty good about, you know, not cursing up a storm. That's great, except for when I'm in traffic. I'm not looking to do anything that's going to upset God, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stand right here. I'm not going to move. Okay, God is not a T-Rex. Like, okay, if you move, I mean, whether you move or don't, he still sees you, right? You guys get that reference? That was a Jurassic Park reference. Okay, if you move, anyway, sorry. I was trying to see who my nerds were out here, but okay, y'all are way beyond my comedy. It's okay. But see, we have to move. We have to move even if that move is a struggle. Even if we're limping along, we're still called to move. Right? Because that's what Paul is telling the church. He's saying, you guys have to move. You have to go. There's still things left to be done with all the endurance and patience with joy. Endurance means that there's movement. But you know what? I know if you're like me, marathons scare me. Seriously. Like, I don't know if there's anybody in this morning crew together, maybe because your eyes are all up early and you're super like fit and all about it. If you guys run marathons. If any of you run marathons, and especially you have like the sticker in the back or whatever where you're like, I'm better than you and I know it, like y'all need counseling. Okay? If you wake up in the morning and go, you know what sounds great? I want to run for 26.1 kilometers and just like have a day of it. what is wrong with you? Like, what? No, I am a sprint guy. Like, I'm a 90 feet, right? I mean, maybe 180 if it's a double. Like, I mean, that's all I'm giving it. Or give me something heavy to lift. That's cool too. But running that long for just no purpose other than just running? Y'all need help, okay? Like, that doesn't make any sense to my brain whatsoever, and that terrifies me to think that I'm actually on this idea of a marathon of life. I go, what do you mean, God? I have to actually, like, keep going? Like, after the first 90 feet, it's not over? And I'm convinced, especially with our students, I think our students have a 90 feet mentality when it comes to Jesus. That their idea of running the race is a sprint from home to first base. And they're like, woo, I did it. Yeah, I went to camp this summer. No. You have like how many more years to go? Like, keep going. Like, this is okay. Keep going. And the beautiful thing is that God allows us to sometimes sprint, gives us the energy to sprint. And man, I tell you what, when he gives you that energy to sprint, whoo, it's a time and a half. Because you are just going, and you're like, nothing's going to stop me. And then guess what? You don't see the massive boulder that's sitting right in the middle of the road, and you crack that ankle, and now you're down the floor, and you're writhing in pain. But guess what? God comes up beside you, picks you up, says, all right, we're going to hobble for a bit now. You had your time of sprinting. That's great. I'm just speaking for me, because I know this is so true for me. He goes, that's great. You're a sprinter. But I'm going to let you hobble a bit here because you need to slow it down. Because sometimes when we think about walking a marathon, especially for all who do marathons, you look at the walkers on the marathon, you're like, walkers. Do they even train? Okay, just so you know, that's me in a marathon. I'm walking, so there you go. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're all running the same race. So whether you walk, run, jog, skip, I don't care what you do, move. Move. God is giving us the endurance to run. What does running look like? Running looks like having an incredible prayer life. That's what running looks like. Walking is pray every once in a while. But hey, you're still praying. You're still moving. You're still talking to the God of the universe, right? That's what that moving looks like. It looks like studying God's word and letting it actually like penetrate your very soul and actually have a voice. Because we can read God's word all day long, but that does not mean that it actually has a voice for us, that we can actually take what he says and go, oh, you know what? I'm going to change my life because of what I just read. No, a lot of us just read it and go, that's cool. That's great. Don't just read God's word. Let it permeate your very soul. It looks like serving, which, church, I don't even need to go there with you, okay? Again, y'all get that. Serving is important. Keep running that race. Keep running that race. It looks like being a part of a community and contributing. Again, you guys are getting that. We're not consumers. Okay, our goal is not to be consumers of the church. When you are new or you are broken and you just need some help and healing, absolutely come in and consume and receive some healing. But as soon as you stop hobbling and you're able to run again, let's turn that back over to a contributor. Because we are called to be a community that contributes. And it looks like bearing fruit. So number two thing is this, we must bear fruit as Christians. Right, Paul mentions that, this idea of bearing fruit. And you know what? What does God even mean when he says bearing fruit? Well, it's pretty simple, but again, it's simple but not simplistic. So it's simple in the idea that bearing fruit looks like transforming lives for the kingdom. That's what it looks like. Now, how we go about doing that, that is going to be a little bit more tricky. See, good example is we had a peach tree when I was growing up, and this peach tree was in our backyard, and it was the bane of my dad's existence. Okay, this thing, like, it was a beautiful tree, never gave us any peaches. Like, the only reason we knew that it was a peach tree is that when we bought it, it said peach tree. Other than that, we had no concept that this thing was going to give us peach trees, because what it actually gave us were rocks. Like, the little fruit that came down were so hard, my brother and I used that to play baseball in the backyard. Like, that was the only thing that peach tree was good for, okay? So, I remember my dad one year, he was like, I mean, after 5 years, whatever it was, of having this dumb peach tree that, again, was not even a peach tree, and he's like, I'm just going to tear this out. He's like, I got a new truck. I just put a new engine in this thing. Let's rip this sucker out and let's start over. My mom, so loving, so caring, so sweet, loves everything, goes, no. Stop being lazy, get off your bum, and go work on the peach tree. So my dad was like, ugh. So he goes out and buys soil. He goes out and he buys all the little trimmings and everything else, and he prunes that tree. He gives it new soil. Like, he is, like, standing over this tree, like, praying that things are going to come out of it. He's like, just like, come on now. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he went out and borrowed some holy water and just started, like, throwing. I mean, trying everything. Why not, right? Just like, come on, peach tree. Come on, peach tree. Just give me something. And he loved them. I mean, he would walk over, and when there was just a little like blossom, he'd come over and rotate it to stimulate growth. I don't even think that's a thing, but like, he did it. Like, went over, he was like, he'd rotate it. And wouldn't you know it, after about 3 months or so, that peach tree gave us that first peach. And I'm not kidding you, church, it was probably about this big around, and we went, is that a watermelon or a peach? Like, that was like, I still wasn't convinced it was a peach tree, but it was huge. And we took it out, we sliced it open, and like, there was juice everywhere on the floor. Like, we were slipping as we were coming into the kitchen. Like, it was amazing. I bet you right now, if I called my parents and I was like, hey, you guys remember that peach tree? And I would just say, you guys remember that peach tree? And you would hear my parents salivating over the phone and like jumping up and down telling stories of the pies and everything else we made from that peach tree. But guess what? Same tree, different result when we actually took care of it. So my question for you is, are you letting God take care of you? Are you letting God actually come in and prune things in your life? You know that pruning is not actually a fun thing? Pruning is actually something that's going to hurt a bit. There's going to be things where there's sin in your life or whatever it is that God is trying to convict you of over a period of time, and he's like, they're still not quite getting it. So we got to cut this out, because if we don't cut this out, this is going to just continue to produce rotten fruit. So God may take things away in your life so that you can produce more fruit. So those who are going through a rough, rough time right now in this room, just know that God has got your back. And then if God is taking things away from you, maybe he's just simply pruning you so that you can produce more for his kingdom. Start thinking about it like that. And you know what? When horrible, horrible instances in life come, it may not sting just as much. It's still going to hurt, but it may not sting just as much. Because God calls us to bear fruit. Again, same tree, but when we let God actually take care of us, he wants to use us. He wants to change our lives. He wants to have you going and moving. He does not want you to remain stagnant. He wants you to be transforming lives and communities. And that's what it looks like to bear fruit, but there's effort on our part, church. The effort on our part is allowing him to do it. You have to allow God to come in and do his work so that we can be his hands and feet and bring the kingdom. Now, God wants us to change people's lives, which can be terrifying, but he gave us help, and that's number three. He wants us to increase in knowledge, right? Paul's other prayer is that the church in Colossae would increase in knowledge. Now, this one's a tricky one, because the temptation here is to say, I'm not going to go and do any of God's work until I know more. Okay, that's false. That's not a good way of thinking. Okay, because if you're just gonna sit in a room, okay, and just like, and worry like so much about like the Trinity and how that operates and the physics of Jesus walking on water, and if you're gonna focus on some of these theological concepts that are so huge, and you're gonna sit in a room just to simply do that, yeah, there's a time and place for it. Absolutely. We need times to do that. But just go bless people. Go love God and love others. Go bless people. That's really who he wants us to do. right? Because he has given us the same power that we have to access, that same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That is the amount of power that God has given us, and no amount of knowledge is going to increase or decrease that, because that's not our power to begin with. So the power that he gave us was the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. And you know what? Experience is the best teacher. So if you are struggling and knowing who God is and knowing what it looks like to live a Christian life or to live 6-8 in our context, guess what? Just go start doing it. You will figure it out along the way. So if you're looking to study something, if you're looking to know, and I believe this is what Paul is really saying here, knowing is simply this. How do I love people more? How do I allow a homosexual couple to come into our church, and how do I embrace them? How do I do that? Because that's what Jesus would do. So how do I love people better? How do I reach out to these broken students who are struggling with identity, struggling with suicidal thoughts, struggling with depression, struggling with all these horrific things? How do I come around them and disciple them? And how do I come around them and give them just a massive hug and just say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I know life is a struggle, but it's not going to be like this forever. Instead of coming down on teenagers, church, can we just start building them up, please? It would make my job so much easier. Like, seriously? We have got to start building these teenagers up. We've got to start giving them confidence they can actually do things. Why? Because love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love means that we're going out and doing things. So when Jesus says to love God and love others, it is a verb, it is an action. We go out and actually do the things that God has asked us to do. Number four, he wants to strengthen you to do those mighty works. Church, God is alive. Amen? Amen? Come on. God is alive. Jesus is alive. His power is real. He wants to bestow on you that power to share the gospel. He wants to strengthen us because he knows that life is hard. He wants to help you as you continue to go down the road and continue to look at what God is going to show you to share the gospel, to transform lives and communities. God wants to help you to do that, and he wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen you to do that because he realizes that we can't do this without him. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen us for endurance and patience with joy. God wants to bring joy to your life because we have a reason to give thanks. Number five, last thing. We have a reason to give thanks, church. Not just because you guys are amazing. That's why I'm giving thanks. We, as a church, have a reason to give thanks. Because I want to just read this passage one more time. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered you and us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Can I get an amen? Like, come on, church. That is why we celebrate. That is why we get so incredibly excited about what God is doing, because he has already done it, right? We have access to that power because Jesus kicked down the door. You realize that? Jesus kicked down the door. He said, there's a door in our way. And that doorway is death. That doorway is religion. That doorway is all of our yuck and nasty stuff that we bring to the table. And Jesus says, that's fine. Boom. I got it. Let's go. Let's walk. And as we walk through that door, God wants to use us for some incredible things. We have a reason to celebrate, church. Because he has qualified you. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his kingdom. Jesus is king. He is king. And he has made us inheritance with him. Oh, if that doesn't change your life, I'm kind of like, I'm lost for words. I got nothing. If that does not change your life, that idea that Jesus is king and he's brought you along as an inheriting son and daughter of the Most High God, that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. He has delivered us from the dark domain in which we were born, right? We were born into sin. Our sin nature no longer has any control over our lives. Your past does not dictate your future. You have made new. You have been made new. You are a saint. You're not a sinner. You are a saint that sometimes sins. You are a saint. And you've been made new for His glory and transferred into His kingdom. And the best of all, churches, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So we have reason to celebrate. And that reason to celebrate is our King. And our King has made new life through Him. Keep up the good work, church. Seriously, keep up the good work, church. Because you are phenomenal. May we never stop celebrating what God is doing in and through this church. Thank you that you are a people that are sold out for the gospel.